We could do a little better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. Good. Good. I just found out that I have a good friend here, Patty. I call Frenchie. You know her as Patty. But I've been working with her for the last couple of months up at Camp Taconic, and I've fallen in love with her. She's a great kid, isn't she? You could just take her as your daughter, just like that. She's really a hard worker and a really wonderful gal, has a good heart to God. So I was so surprised to see you here today, honey. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're all here, and thank you for having me. I appreciate the invitation. And I'm kind of going around the district, and I am asking people kind of the same question. Bob, you may have heard me ask this question before, but I'm going to be asking the question. I want to know something. Are you living a dream, or you're just living your life? Are you living a dream? Or is life day after day after day after day after day? You know what? I wonder, do you have a dream? Many of you do. Some of us, over a period of time, that dream may have gotten a little bit dimmed. It may be dusty. Maybe in the closet. Maybe behind the dresser somewhere. It may have fallen down, you know? I don't know. But is it a dream or a fantasy? See, I don't care how young or how old you are. God wants you to have a dream. And he's got a plan for you. It's not over yet, or you wouldn't be here. It's not over yet. You know, there was a lot of young teenagers in the Bible that made a big impact, and there was a lot of octogenarians in the Bible that had a big impact, and even older, right? Some of these guys were 100 years old or so. And some of them were teenagers that were killing giants and slaying giants and becoming kings that brought peace to a plan. Let me ask you, where are you? Where are you today? You know, life happens, doesn't it? Right, Pastor? Life happens. It doesn't happen, life happens, sometimes good and bad, but life happens regardless of what we're doing. And someone once said, it isn't what life brings to us. 90% is how we react to it. And isn't that what God says to us? God says it's not what happens to you in your life, it's how you react to it. Every single challenge, every single situation, every time we get into something, it's a challenge to do it my way, or it's a challenge to do it God's way. Now, I don't know about you, but my way screws me up quite a bit. I've been messed up more in life, and God doesn't mess me up. It's when I forget. And sometimes I do, Bob. I forget to go to God, and I start handling these problems my own way. And before you know it, I'm more in the ditch than what I was when I first got in there. I don't understand that. Well, I do. I understand me. And I'm trouble. I can be trouble for myself. So I have to be very, very careful. So I have to, Mary, I try to have like a red flag. Something's going wrong that says to me, I have to go to God. I try to do that. I don't always make it. But do you have a plan? You have a vision? You got something in the closet you got to dust off? You know, in 2 Corinthians, it tells us we're new people. The old is gone. The new has come. Did I just do something to that? Oh, okay. The old has come. I'm stepping on wires. I didn't know what I was doing. The old has come. New, the old stuff, man, has passed away. And you know that's present tense? That means I don't care how old or young you are. That means you. You sing good, by the way. Yeah, that's what it means. It means that it's done. So I ask people, what would happen today? Now, I know nobody in here buys lottery tickets. I understand that. But if I told you that you were guaranteed to go home today and you win $1 million lottery, how would you feel? What would happen to you? Would you feel any different? Would you do anything different on the way home from church today? Now, I heard on the radio the other day that there was a 47 or $74 million lottery over in New Jersey. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know how much money that is. I can't fathom it. So whether it's 47, 74, it doesn't make any difference to me. It's all the same. So imagine if you won $74 million. Would you go home any different today? What would you do? Would you buy something? Would you be tempted to buy something? Would you get a trip? You know, Frenchie, I call her Frenchie because she's going to Belgium. And she's going to be staying in the French, where the quarter where they speak French, right? So she's going to be speaking French when she goes back. You better come back and help me out with the camp when you come back. So make sure that that goes fast. I'm going to miss her already. So what happens, here's my question to you. Would you go home different? Now, I guess as Christians, we're probably tempted to say, nah, I wouldn't go home any different. Pastor, I think I'd go home different. I just have to say my human nature would kick in. Now, I would hope I can get down on my knees and get some good stuff going with that. Now, just make sure, we're not buying lottery tickets. I'm just saying if you happen to win the lottery, even though you didn't buy one, you see what I'm saying? Because I know nobody buys lottery tickets in here. I don't. So as we go through this, I guess I'm going to ask you, you know what? It's pretty interesting. There would be some people that would just buy yachts and buy homes and buy everything. And some of you, don't tell me you wouldn't. Some of you would get on the phone right now today and call your boss and say, never coming in again to see you, buddy. I'm done. I'm fried. Now, before you do that, let me tell you what happened. The New York Times took a survey, and they said that on average, 90% of the lottery winners are broke in 5 years or less. Divorce rate, 70%. Broke. Less than what they had before. So, what's wrong here? What's going on? But if I told you you could have the desires of your heart, would you listen? See, if you could have the desires of your heart that wouldn't disappear, you wouldn't go broke, they wouldn't rust, they wouldn't get old. They can't go on fire and be destroyed. And you see, there's something else too. There's some guarantees here. Because God, in His Word, guarantees some things to you for eternity. That means now, and it doesn't stop. It keeps going. There are gifts that you have or could have right now that will last you the rest of your life, which is eternity for the Christian. See, your life doesn't end here. We just change places. You see? Isn't that cool? So we have that for the rest of our life. Isn't it neat to know that? So let's take a look at some of those things. Know this. God wants you to have the desires of your heart. Now, this isn't me saying this, Frenchie. This is what God's saying to you, honey. God is saying, Psalm 20 says, may He give you what you desire and make your plans succeed. Amen? to make your plan succeed. Now, that doesn't mean that we have a wish list. It doesn't mean that we say, okay, I want a Cadillac or whatever they have today, BMWs and Mercedes and all of these other type of things. The desires of your heart, but you know who puts that desire there? God does. See, that's the difference between a want and a desire. God puts the desire in you to do something, to go after something. He puts a love in your heart for people. He puts a love in your heart for a particular situation or a path. Seek your happiness in the Lord. That's where we get it from. Not from the outside, not from where we are, but to be able to, in Psalm 37, it says, seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. That sounds like a promise to me. Does it sound like a promise to you? It is. So there's kind of like a formula here that God says, walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands. Love him. Read his word. Let him speak with you. Do this that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. In Joshua 1:9, it says, be brave and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that nice? Wherever we go, God's here. So this doesn't make sense to me. If this is true, do you guys believe this? If this is true, then I just have to ask you, he guarantees you this plan just for you. Isn't that something? Just for you. We can go one more forward. Thank you. Just for you, Bob. Pastor, just for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans that are good. Not bad. He's not going to zap us. He's not going to say, you know, there were times that when I became Joe, an early Christian, I remember hearing that God's going to take care of me all the time. And I say, well, okay, well, what does that mean? Do I really put my everything into him? Because if he's going to take care of me, that could mean that maybe I'm in Penn Station sitting on the floor begging for food. No, that's not. I don't think that's what God has in mind for me. Now, if things happen in my life, that's fine. I know that wherever I am, wherever I go, wherever I'm with somebody, or be by myself, I'm never by myself because God's there with me. But God's not going to do things that are going to harm me. He's not going to have a bad plan for you. He has a good plan for you, a plan that you're going to love, a plan that as long as you're walking in God's will, you're going to love it, won't you? You're going to feel that, man, this is where I should be. This is where I'm at. And boy, I couldn't be any happier. Man, there were some times just sitting in my backyard, I couldn't be any happier with the house that I have and the things that God provided me for. And no, it's not a fancy place. And no, it's not, it's all these things. But you know what? God takes care of you and takes care of me. It rained last night where I was, and guess what? Didn't rain inside my house. I'm fine. I had a four-year-old little boy, my grandboy, jumping up and down in my bed with me, man, and that was good. Put him to bed, read him a story. I bought one of these books, by the way. It says, You Are Special. Bought it in a Christian bookstore. You Are Special. So I said to him, he's four, just turned four. I said to him, okay, this is what we're going to read tonight, because I was by myself with him. The girls were out. And I said, we're going to read a book called You Are Special. He says, Grandpa, he says, I am special because God tells me I'm special. Where'd that come from? I said, you read this book? He said, no. Isn't that something? You're special. There's nobody exactly like you. And God has a plan for you, and I wonder, please don't get mad at me. Can I challenge you for a minute? I wonder if you're living his plan. Or is it your plan? I wonder if you're living God's plan that would give you peace and joy and happiness, or are you fretting about paying the rent next month? Or scrambling to pay the mortgage? or taxes. That's not God. God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's God. So there are plans that are good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that nice that you can have hope at any age, at any time in your life? And you know what? Things don't always go as they should at home, with families, with churches, with jobs, with anything. But we know this. God's heart is different. God wants you to give you what you should desire and exactly what you need. Maybe not exactly what you want. He's going to give you the things that will be only for you, that will fit you like a glove. And you know, it says that we are guaranteed. Oh, and those things belong to Jesus Christ, have put to death the human nature and all its passions and desires. So we desire the things for God and the heart for God. And here's God's guarantee. God's guarantee is for eternity. In John 3:15, so that anyone who believes in him may have eternal life. He who believes has eternal life. And this is what Christ said to himself. He promised to us eternal life. So I hate to ask you this question, but the next slide will show us. Do you believe all this? See, let me go back to the beginning. If I gave you the guarantee that you were going to go out of here with $1 million in a lottery ticket and you were going to act different, let me ask you, do you really believe this, what God's saying? Do you believe that these are God's promises? Because if these are God's promises, then maybe some of us should walk out of here today and be totally different when we go home than when we came in here. Because God is promising you the desires of your heart. He's willing to give you. He's sitting there waiting, Mary, saying, you know what? Come on. Come on. Try me out. I promise to give you the desires of your heart at any age, any stage that you're in, from youth to my age. So when you look and you say, you know what? Is God's guarantee good enough for me? Think about it. Is God's promises more secure than your bank account? Or are you still trying to add to that just to get a few extra in there just to make sure you're going to be okay? Guess what? You'll never have enough. So stop it. You'll never have enough. I don't care what you got in there. I don't care if you have nothing. I don't care if you got $1 million. It's not enough. Got it? It is not enough. The money is not going to save us, ever. Nothing wrong with money. It's just not going to save you. And it's not going to solve your problems. And it's not going to give you security. And it's not going to enable you to rest better at night. You might think so, but you're worried about it. Oh my goodness, what the stock market do? Is my interest rate going to drop? Oh my goodness, I just lost, let me calculate that. Now it went down to 3%, I just lost $142 this month. Oh, what's going to happen? It's going to happen all the time, gang. That's not it. Jesus doesn't diminish in value. You see? God will take care of you, whether you got something in your bank account or not. So is God's promises more reliable than the lottery? I sure hope so. Yes. So what God promises you today is the ability to be able to just say, all right, Lord, I give up. I'm yours altogether. You see, I may have done that 35 years ago, but I've got to do it every day. Every day, I got to give my life over to God every day, because life happens. See, I can't be a Christian here on a Sunday in a church and then go to work tomorrow and be a worker. And then on Tuesday, I'm a worker. And then I go to school Tuesday night, and I'm a student. No. We're Christians first in every aspect of our life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in church, at school, at home. So, are you ready? Are you ready to take God's promises? What are you going to do? What would you do today? What would you do different? How about tonight and tomorrow? What would you do tomorrow different? You don't have school anymore, do you? You're out for school this summer? You do online? Cool. But whatever you're doing tomorrow, will it be different? How about your life? Will your life be different? So when we're talking about eternity, I can't get that. I can't fathom how long eternity is, forever. But I do know this. I do know that God is promising me that. And so I'm going to leave you a challenge. Is there a trust that you have in God? God says, do you want to live anxiety-free? Debt-free? Never problem-free, because the Bible tells us we're always going to have trials. But will you turn those trials over to God? Will you trust Him enough to be able to place everything that you have in His life? He says to you, tired? Come to me, all of you that are thirsty, and drink. Living water. Not the bottled stuff. Nothing wrong with this. Pretty good, but that's not what God's got. I will never leave you or forsake you. And in Matthew it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Are you ready? Will you do one thing different today when you go home? What would that one thing be? As our chorus comes up, we're going to end in prayer. But I want to give you that challenge. I want to give you that challenge to be able to stay new every single day. To take something on today that maybe you didn't before. To be able to do that thing that you know that you should have done, that you've just been waiting for. To be able to give something up or take something on. To be able to see that person and to be able to bless that person. To be able to pray, to be able to give some time to God. So that we say, you know what, God, I believe in you and your promises 100%. So I'm going to pray as you come up. We're going to have an ending song. And then we'll have a benediction as we leave. Father God, pray with me if you would. Father God, we know you. We know you, Father, and Father, we trust you. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this church. I thank you for them. I thank you for their belief. I thank you, Lord, for their spirit. I thank you for their determination. I thank you for their love for you and want to express their love for you. So, Father, as we're going to hear and worship for you in song, Lord, it's just another way that we can say thank you for you and thank you for redeeming us and bringing us to you.